the Messiah. The term the Messiah means the anointed one, and it's a term that's used in the book of the Torah. The Messiah is born of human parents, and he will be a descendant of King David. Now, what will the Messiah look like? He'll have some key features. He'll be a great political leader. He'll understand the Jewish law and follow it. He'll be a charismatic leader who'll inspire others. He'll have leadership qualities. He'll be a military leader, a judge, and he'll be a normal human being, in no way a god or a demigod or a semigod. None of those things. He will be a normal human being. And the teaching on the Messiah is that he'll be announced by the prophet Elijah. Graves will open and the dead will rise again. And he'll bring a new age, what's called the Messianic Age, which will be an age of peace, where the world will be restored. Now, when will the Messianic Age actually happen? Some Jews believe that God has set a time and date for the coming of the Messiah. Others believe it will not happen until society is good enough. This motivates Jews to be good people to bring about the Messianic Age. Conversely, some think that the world will have to get to a really bad place when God will intervene and rescue it. So the Messianic Age will be a time when people will live together in peace and harmony. It'll be a time when all Jews will return to Israel, and Israel will be a true light to nations, and will set the standard. The central government of the world will be ruled by Israel. The Messiah will bring political and spiritual peace. He'll set up a government in Jerusalem. He'll rebuild the temple, and the Jewish law and the court system will be re-established as the law everywhere. Now, some Jews really think about the Messianic Age. They believe that it's one of the 13th principles of Judaism, and they think it motivates them to make the world a better place. Other Jews say the Messiah is no big deal. He doesn't really make any difference to them. They don't really think about it. If anything, they like to think of a time to come, a messianic age to come, where we will work out a sense of peace and harmony in the world. So the Messiah means anointed one. It's referred to in the Torah. He'll be a great leader who will bring peace and restore Judaism to Israel. Some Jews think it's really important. Others say it has little significance. Life after death. Judaism is a religion of life, and therefore Jews are vague about what happens after death. So there's lots of teachings on life after death, and for many Jews it isn't a particularly important idea. So the idea of life after death does not appear in the Torah, and it only appears in the Tanakh once. Jews think that there must be some form of life after death, as life is unfair, and they think that what you do in this life is very much dependent on how you will live in the next life. Jews believe that good people will be rewarded regardless of whether you're Jewish or not. They believe that God will judge all souls. And the principle of life after death is important because it's mentioned in the 13 principles of Judaism. In those 13 principles, it says that there's the resurrection of the dead that will happen at God's command. So how might life after death influence Jews today? So Orthodox Jews may be buried and not cremated, as they believe in the resurrection of the body. Liberal and Reformed Jews have rejected the idea of a physical resurrection, and they will allow for cremation. Jews will keep the rules of mitzvot because they believe that God will judge them when they die. They will also confess their sins at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to keeping God's good books, to acknowledge the things that they have done wrong because they believe that God ultimately is a judge. So, crucially, Judaism is a religion of life. They do believe that God will judge them when they die, and they trust that God will be fair in his judgment. The covenant with Abraham. So we've got two covenants that you need to learn about. We've got the covenant with Abraham, and we've got the covenant with Moses at Sinai, the one that was made for the promised land. So a covenant is an agreement between God and his people. God promised that Abraham's descendants would be the chosen people of God. God promised people a land of their own, and this is known as the land of Israel. Abraham's descendants would be circumcised as a sign that they belong to the children of Israel. Jews see Israel as their homeland, and Jews are encouraged to live in Israel. It is taught that Israel should be a light to nations. It's believed that when the Messiah comes, Israel will be restored and will be a world leader, the world leader. So, how will this covenant influence Jews? Well, all male Jews will be circumcised, Jews may go and live in Israel, and Jews will follow the commands of the mitzvot because they are bound by that covenant. The sacred text for this is, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you." The covenant with Israel and the Ten Commandments. So, a covenant is an agreement between God and his people. And in Abraham's time, God promised people a land of their own, and this is known as Israel. Now, the covenant with Abraham was not conditional. God just said, "You'll be my people and I'll look after you." This time, the covenant is conditional. Moses went up Mount Sinai and was given the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are what sets this covenant out. The Israelites had to follow God's rules. Now, the first of these rules are the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. Number two, you can't make for yourself an idol. Number three, do not misuse God's name. Four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Five, honour your mother and father. Six, do not murder. Seven, do not commit adultery. Eight, do not steal. Nine, do not give false testimony. 10, do not covet. That means don't be jealous. So you can see from this that there are some rules about God, religious rules, have no other gods before me, don't make for yourself an idol, don't misuse God's name. And then you've got other rules, which are about how you treat others. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. That sets the tone of the mitzvot. There are rules about God and rules about how you treat others. So how does a covenant with Israel influence Jews today? Firstly, they might go and live in Israel. So Israel was chosen as the promised land, and many Jews choose to go and live there. Jews might follow the mitzvot commands, believing that they are bound by the covenant. So the rules, the mitzvot, bind the covenant. Jews are expected to learn and do God's will. And your text for that is, "All the Eternal has spoken, we will do." All the Eternal has spoken, we will do. The Ten Commandments give Jews their identity. They are commanded to follow those laws as part of their relationship with God. And the Ten Commandments also show the Jews how to live an ethical life. The commandments demand standards of behaviour that Jews must follow. Summing up, the covenant with Israel is conditional. So the covenant with Abraham wasn't, this one's conditional. Jews must follow the rules. They must follow the Ten Commandments, and you need to know at least two examples of the Ten Commandments, and you need to know how they influence Jews today. They follow them, and they might go and live in Israel, the Jewish community. The sanctity of life. This is quite an easy one to get your head around. So sacred means above all else. Human life is sacred. It is more important than money, more important than time, more important than anything else. It is a precious gift of God. And the posh word for this in Judaism, the key word is pikur nafesh, the Jewish obligation to save life. And this comes before anything else in Judaism. Pikur nefesh, the Jewish obligation to save life. So human life is sacred because it's created by God. Humans are made in the image of God. Humans have a duty to ensure that their life is purposeful and they make the most out of the gift of life. And humans should always act in favour of life at all times. They should set aside the mitzvot rules if a life is in danger. So, for example, if someone is very ill and it's Shabbat, you take them to the hospital in your car. You don't say, I'm not going to drive because they are ill. Because it's Shabbat, you always make the command to save life your priority. If someone is starving to death and the only food that you have is trefah, it doesn't fit kosher rules, you give them the food. You save life before anything else. So in our commands, you always put life first. Now, you can use any of these sacred texts. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your offspring may live. Choose life so that you and your offspring may live. You could use the simple one from the Ten Commandments. Don't murder. Life is very, very important. So how might the belief in the sanctity of life influence Jews today? Number one, they'd break a Shabbat rule. Number two, they might be a live organ donor in order to save someone's life. And thirdly, they may allow abortion to save the life of a mother. So always before everything else is the idea that human life is sacred. And the posh Jewish word that you can use for this is pikur nefesh, the obligation to save a life. The importance of Moses. So Moses is important because he led the Israelite people out of slavery and he was given the laws that bind all Jews to God. So let's look at his life. Moses was born as an Israelite slave. He was placed in a basket and sent down a river to save him from Pharaoh's order to kill all the Israelite babies. He was found by an Egyptian princess and raised as a prince of Egypt. His life was pretty good, but then he found out he wasn't actually a prince of Egypt, but in fact, Israelite slave, and he fled Egypt only later to be pursued by God and told